Welcome to the Self-Help Podcast, a weekly no-nonsense guide dedicated to your emotional health and well-being. Presented by entrepreneur Edward Lamb and psychotherapist Sean Orford. For more information, visit liveinthepresent.co.uk.
Hello and welcome to episode number 75 of the Coughing Podcast. With Sean and Ed. How you doing? It's the Self-Help Podcast, and I wasn't going to mention episode numbers, was I?
Ever again.
Yeah, there you go.
But this will be the coughing podcast.
Yeah. Well, I've got a bit of a cough now. Sean, you've got rid of yours.
Yeah, I've been doing pretty well. There's been weird viruses around on there, so...
There always have been.
I'm at the end of the third week of the coughing virus.
Yeah. So I've got 3 weeks to go.
Yeah.
Fantastic!
There'll be three more podcasts with you coughing away in the background.
Well, what are we talking about today, Sean?
About no.
No, yeah, okay, yeah. Okay, we'll get on to that. No. But it was going to be learning to say no, but it's going to be...
Never say no instead. What I want to look at is situations that we get ourselves in where we're frightened of saying no. And then when we do need to say no, how do we say it without saying no?
Yeah.
You have to know that.
We do. Okay, we'll come on to that. Before that, I want to say hello, first of all, to our pal Dot. Across the pond.
How you doing?
Who emailed us to say hello. She listens to our show as she's going to sleep, I think.
Yes. So she'll be going to sleep right now.
Yeah, we'll say this at the start.
Do you think that we just sort of bore her down and she's just aggressively going?
I know.
Do you think?
My wife does that. She listens and getting drops off, so she never hears the end.
No, it was a lovely email from Dot, so thanks for that.
Yeah, we love getting those emails. Drop us a line, just say hello. You don't have to, offer us advice or anything, just say hello. We just like people reaching out, don't we?
And ideas for episodes.
We're actually got a lot in the bag, actually, but they're our own ideas mainly, so if you've got an idea, drop us a line. Also, I love getting iTunes reviews. It's been about 4 months, I think, since we had
an iTunes review.
Yeah, outrageous. But I've been pestering a little bit recently, and one of our good listeners has delivered a 5-star review for us, Sean.
Hooray! Woo!
A little bit of heaven has put... Oh, no, hang on. That's the title of it. So this is the show's A Little Bit of Heaven. How about that? By Sleepless from Surrey. These podcasts are amazing. I try and listen every week, but sometimes life runs away with me, so I get to hear lots at once. I like doing that with podcasts. I like storing them up and then blasting through while I'm working.
Yeah. People will say to me that I've downloaded 70 podcasts and I'm listening to them back to back.
Having just enjoyed traveller's therapy, I had no idea that it would take time to get back into work after a holiday. I find these podcasts educational, amusing and enjoyable. Keep up the good work, Sean and Ed. Yeah. Nice, isn't it?
If you're called Sleepless, does that mean that it's a late night listener, do you think?
Perhaps, yeah. And we have done at least one sleep related show. Maybe we need to do another one. Yeah. And that leads nicely onto how I'm doing at the moment, because I'm doing well. I'm not showing sleep the respect it deserves, because
you look like a chap who's just had a child.
People keep telling me I look quite fresh in there,
in a knackered kind of way.
My 3-year-old woke me up this morning because my alarm was going off to come here, and he woke
so
me up.
So the 3-year-old has to wake you
he
up.
He woke me up saying, "Daddy, your phone's ringing." It's cool, man. It's all good. I mean, he's sleeping he's waking every 3-4 hours, which is what babies do, man.
Yeah, there's always that adjustment phase, isn't there?
Yeah.
So, but he's a lovely little boy. He's great.
So far, he seems pretty good. Yeah. He seems pretty good. How are you doing?
Good. Me, I'm good. I'm good. Just been away to God's own country, been to the Yorkshire Dales.
So you can say Wales then, because that's what my father-in-law calls it.
Does he? All right.
Yeah, okay.
Yorkshire Dales, absolutely gorgeous, amazing place. The thing is that the stroll down to the pub's actually 4 kilometres.
So you burn off all the calories.
Yeah. But then you have to stagger back again.
Are you a pint drinker, Sean?
I am when I go there, because they do the most amazing local ales.
Yeah, okay.
I don't like lagery kind of drinks, but that good old British ale is quite amazing. That's good, yeah.
Cool. They have good names as well, don't they? I usually go for the one with the weirdest name if I see a row of them in one of those. In a proper pub.
Tom Tiddler's Pint. This was Black Sheep we were drinking.
Okay. There's also Trapper's Hat. I think that's a local one around here, maybe, is it?
Yeah.
All sorts. Good fun.
Yeah, good. Yeah, no, lovely weekend.
Shall we discuss our topic?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, so as I say...
I should say no.
No. Yeah, initially, this is a listener request, this one, talking about learning to say no. So I thought, that's a good idea. But then you fire through your preliminary blog post, which is on the website, actually. It's been top and tailed. And it's basically titled, Never Say No.
Yeah. So I think no is a really negative thing to say.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there's... Okay.
Definition, it is. Isn't it? I haven't looked at the definition of no, but it's a negative statement.
Ed's definition of no is negative. I think that there will come a time when you do have to say to someone very clearly no, or which bit of no don't you understand, and maybe that's followed by two words and the second one's off, that kind of thing, you know. So I accept that, but in a general sense, everyday life, working with people, living with people, no is one of the most negative sounds you can make. One of the comments I make in the blog is that if you go into the old mantric sciences in the East, the M and the N are the middle of the alphabet. They're both equidistant from the beginning or the end.
Okay.
And the M sound is a closing sound that gathers energy in. So you get all the sounds like om, amin, amen, mum. They're all sounds that gather as you close your mouth.
Yep.
Whereas the N sounds, to make a N sound, you have to open your mouth with N to push it away.
Never.
Yeah. So it seems like either you're gathering energy in with the M sounds or you're pushing it away with the N sounds.
Nincompoop. Yeah.
Nincompoop. What about, nasty.
What about words like namaste? That's probably a word you use all the time, man.
Yeah. But it's the nam. Namaste.
So that neutralises the N. The
I reckon. That's my theory.
I'm questioning the science behind this, but yeah I like it. Okay.
I don't know, the mudra and mantra, things like that, would be considered sciences in a Western sense. They would in an Eastern sense. But who cares?
What is you haven't done it in a while, but you know your the meditative sound you do, the it's not that, it's... What is it?
Yeah.
When you do that really loud noise, is it om or?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I can't do it now because Dot will fall out of bed.
Yeah.
It'd be very loud.
The microphone could not take that. We'd say no to avoid certain things, and sometimes we need to because either maybe we're too busy or we don't want to take the work or we don't want to.
But it's how you say it, because the thing is that by being unable to do something or unwilling to do something, we can either alienate the person that we're talking to. Or we can make it an okay communication. So look, let's start off with, and I'm using some stuff here from a Zen blog.
Who are we ripping off this week?
Which I'm going to stick up at the end, but it's the Zen Habits blog, which is a great blog.
Can't argue with that. Yeah, of course.
Yeah. So why would you be in a situation where you wouldn't want to say no? Is the first thing. So the first one we're looking at here is that you want to help. You want to help someone. Someone's come along and said to you, can you do so-and-so? And maybe you haven't got time, which is really, really difficult, but you feel like they need the help. You know, like you were on the bike the other day with Will, and the old lady was in the road and she needed someone to help her do a television.
Yeah.
So you went and did a television, which was okay. Mm-hmm. But how many people would have thought, I can't, and I haven't got the time?
No, and I had those thoughts going through my head but I was too nice to say no, really.
But that's the thing, isn't it? It's that you want to help, yeah?
Yeah.
And along with that goes the idea about being afraid of being rude to somebody. You know, someone's asked you for something, and maybe you do want to say no, but this is the thing about very often the issue about not saying no is about trying to keep the peace or keep yourself safe.
Yep.
So it can be a bit people-pleasing sometimes. Being afraid of being rude, yes. Wanting to be agreeable. Now, if you're in a group of people, and this can be difficult for kids, where the group are trying to get you to do something, let's go and smash those windows, and you really don't want to do it,
mm-hmm.
but you feel like you can't say no, and you've got to join in with whatever the bad behaviour is to be a part of the group.
Yeah.
So saying no separates you out,
mm-hmm.
Which can be difficult, can't it?
It can.
Fear of conflict is a classic. I see so many people, especially in workplace situations, that are scared of conflict, either with a manager or with a colleague, and end up doing things that they really, really don't want to do.
Yeah, yeah. I've never been big on conflict, but I don't really work with anyone at the moment, apart from people that I like and choose to work with.
That's a good place to be.
Yeah, it's cool.
Yeah.
But even then, it does, I mean, we'll come on to that, but it brings issues.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, I do remember being in a workplace where I was working with a lot of people and I'd always avoid that conflict as best I could.
But what people do is rather than being able to address the issue, they end up avoiding, so they avoid a person.
Yeah.
And if you think about, anyone that's listening to this, if you think about your workplace situation, who are the groups of people that you do associate with, either when, you know, it's a break time or when you're going to have a gossip about something, and who are the people that, that you're avoiding, who are the people that you're connecting with?
Yeah.
Yeah, and what's going on here? And is there an avoidance? Because very often people will avoid either situations or people so they don't have to use the no word.
Right.
Yeah. Okay, last two on this bit is about fear of lost opportunities. One of the things, I guess, when you're self-employed is that you tend to say yes to everything.
Yeah.
And then work out how you're going to accomplish it afterwards.
Yeah, yeah, flipping heck, I can relate to this big time.
Yeah, which means that you just never use the word no, you always say yes. You know, can you do so-and-so? Of course I can. And you walk away thinking, I don't know how I'm going to do that, but you have to work it out.
I've done that loads. I mean, a couple of anecdotes perhaps. Yeah, first up, I mean, I mainly do web design now.
Yeah.
You know, I say I do all this other stuff, which I do graphics and blah, blah, blah. But mainly it all revolves around the internet and websites. But 5 years ago, I couldn't build websites. And that was after I'd gone self-employed. So what I started out wanting to do more graphics and logos and logo design and all that, because it's good fun. Everyone kept asking me for websites, man. And I kept saying yes to it. And I botched my way through the first 3 or 4 and then, or more. Didn't enjoy it that much, and then slowly but surely learned some new tricks. Discovered this platform called WordPress, which I use all the time now to build websites. And I've got better and better at using WordPress now, I think I've. I'm glad I didn't say no to those initial jobs, because now it's almost my whole business is based around my skills on the web.
Yeah.
I enjoy it. I didn't think I ever would, actually, but I really love web design now.
Look, long, long time ago, when I was playing lots of music, and I was playing saxophone, and I'd been learning saxophone for a while, for probably about 6 months, 9 months, something like that. And I'd always played the music, so the music bit wasn't the difficulty. It was getting the mouth right and getting your fingers right. But someone was hustling me to teach them to play the saxophone, and they thought I was some great kind of aficionado of sax, and I'd only been playing for like 9 months or something. So in the end, I was teaching them saxophone, but I was learning something 1 week from my teacher, and then teaching.
Let me just check.
Never say no.
No, no. I mean, I did a job as well, a film job, like with a camera, for a big company as well, actually, like a big organisation, the Eden Project.
Oh yeah, lovely.
And I had a contact there, and she phoned me up and asked if I could do a film, and I was like, yeah. And I've mucked around with phone cameras and stuff like that, but thought I'd have a crack at it. And my main reason for doing all this stuff is for the money, or it was initially when I was just desperate for work. It was quite a big job, so I took it on and botched my way through it. And it was all right, actually, the final finished product. Borrowed a camera from a guy I knew and all that stuff, and a tripod.
So did you do it on your own?
I went down there with Bethan.
Right.
Yeah. She was my assistant for the day. So we got free entry to the Eden Project, and we were following a group round all day on like a structured tour.
Yeah.
So I was dashing here and there and getting shots of the little train going off and all that. And Bethan was lugging my tripod around in the back, bless her. This before children, so it was good fun though. Fun, man. It was stressful, actually. I haven't done any film work since. Just because I haven't advertised it, really, but I would do it again if asked.
I think that the word no, when you think about what you just said, is when I say it's the thing that cuts things off. It stops opportunity. It's like putting a buffer on the track. As soon as you say no, there's nowhere else to go.
Yep.
That's it. You've stuffed it. You've done. Whereas if you have that open mind, where no isn't a part of your vocabulary, then you do new things. You do have new experiences. Because very often the word no is born of fear. It's the fear of the unknown.
Yeah.
Yeah, whereas if you're prepared to say, yeah, okay, I'll do that, I'll have a go at that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so no doesn't exist. Then you expand and you grow as a person.
Cool.
And that seems really important to me.
Okay.
Yeah?
Yeah, I like
last it. One on the negatives here. Not burning bridges. People will very often not be able to say no or avoid something for the fear of they're going to lose the opportunity.
Mm-hmm.
And that could be that you end up going to parties or dinner parties or things with people that you really don't want to be with,
yeah.
Because you're fearful of the fact that you're never going to get invited again if you say no.
Yeah.
That kind of stuff.
Okay.
Yeah. Or it could be a job issue or whatever. But that fear of if I don't say yes to this, then I'm going to be in some way diminished or disabled in things in the future.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
Yeah. Well, I guess you don't want to appear rude or let people down as well.
We've got Christmas coming. How many people will be sat round the table with people that they don't want to be with, pretending they're having a good time? Hey, come on, playing happy families and popping the crackers and stuff.
My mum listens to this podcast and my dad, so I need to be careful.
Because that's what people do at Christmas, isn't it? It's great if you're with a bunch of people you want to be with, that's fine.
Yeah, yeah. As I'm sure you will be, and I know I will.
Yeah, I will be. I have a good time.
Just for the record.
Yeah, no, I do have a good time at Christmas. But that whole thing about people will say to me, "Oh no, I hate Christmas. Oh, you know, Uncle Fred's coming. Oh, I can't stand him." You know, and then Uncle Fred comes and goes, "Hiya, how are
Uncle
you?
Fred. Yeah, thanks for the crappy present, man.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Give me a gift voucher next year, eh, Fred? Yeah.
So my thing then is when I'm working with people, especially people in the workplace, is. The issue about how do you say no to something? Maybe you're overworked, you're up to the eyeballs, whatever, and people keep coming along and giving you more stuff.
Right.
So how do you say no without ever using the word no?
Mm-hmm.
So the first thing that I teach people to do is to say, shoot it to their manager. They end up saying, "Oh, I'd really love to do that for you, but I have all these things to do."
You said an important word there, and I was hoping you would. You said, "But."
The but.
So I was got in my notes here. What you can say is no thanks, but is a negative word as well.
Well, but usually means, and I think that it is true in this case, is that but is like a delete button, because people will say to you, "Yes, I've heard what you say. I completely understand what you're talking about, but," and as soon as they say but, they've just deleted what you said.
Yeah.
Yeah. But if I say to you,
"But
I'd really love to." I'm getting these stuff now. If I say to you, "I'd really love to do that for you, but I am actually deleting the fact that I'd really love to do that for you because I don't mean that at all."
Mm-hmm.
So I mean that's actually reality. But it's avoiding this no sound.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Very often, if you've got an issue with the manager where you've got piles of stuff, and I've trained people to do this in the workplace as well, is that the manager comes along and you say, "I'd really love to do that for you, Mr. Manager. I've got this pile of stuff here. Which thing would you like me not to do on this pile of stuff here so I can do that for you?"
Prioritise.
And
yeah,
then what that means is that the manager who has the power then has to take some responsibility for exercising the power.
Yeah.
Whereas what happens to the employee is...
Which is what they get paid to do, by the way.
And the employee has the responsibility without the power to enact what they need to enact.
Mm-hmm.
So it's re-establishing the power and responsibility balance.
Yeah.
So, like, the issue of not saying no. Okay, so here's some ideas, right?
Bring them on.
"I can't commit to this as I have other priorities at the moment."
Sure.
Yeah? So
is that just a delaying tactic, though? Are they going to come back in a week or two and say, "How about now?"
Well, that might be the case, might it? That you are saying, "Yeah, okay, I would be up for that, but I can't do it now." And maybe that's okay.
Mm-hmm.
But sometimes it is a case of being able to push things away. You may be saying, "No, I can't commit at that time. I've got other priorities. My plate's full."
Yeah.
Yeah, and it may be that your time frame is such that it doesn't fit with the other person. They've got to find someone else anyway.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah. But that's a whole different... And this is the point. It creates a different relationship between you and the other person. If you just simply say, "No, can't do that," without having any kind of process around that,
yeah,
that's what creates the negativity.
Okay, cool. Yeah. Fair enough. Fair it is.
Mm. But you can actually time that up, can't you? So now's not a good time. I'm in the middle of something. How about we reconnect at a time in the future?
Yeah, I did that recently, actually, with a a sales, and the sales calls are a good one for this. I'm getting better at nudging them away, because I've never been good at just, some people just hang up the phone, don't they? Oh, not now, boosh.
Yeah.
Whereas I'm always like super polite, and then I'll end up blooming agreeing to something, or say keep me on your list, call me back in 6 months, and then like brilliant, and then 6 months the phone rings, damn, yeah, I remember saying that, you know. But so yeah, I've been always been pretty rubbish at that, just delaying. And there's something recently where I was on paternity leave, whatever that means for self-employed people, but a sales call for some software, and I was like, oh, can you call me on this day in 2 weeks, and he's going to call me next week, and I'm not really interested, so I've just wasted his time and mine, really, haven't I?
Yeah,
I should have been a bit more firm.
Yeah,
know what I mean?
Yeah, but it may be that that's one of those situations where it is appropriate to say no.
Yeah,
as a straight cut off, you know, that is a, you know,
so we are allowed to say it.
Yeah, but it's looking at, it's the consequential part. What's the consequences of what you say? Because many of the people that you're communicating with on an everyday basis don't go away.
Yeah.
And once you start saying no to people and creating that negativity, that's when relationships start to fall apart. But society is about people connecting.
Yep.
Yeah, so about being able to step away from something without rejecting the other person. I suppose the classic is, isn't it? Someone gets down on their knee to you and they open a box with a ring in it and they say, darling, will you marry me?
I thought you'd never ask your own.
What do you say?
Yeah.
Yeah. How do you...
My father-in-law does actually do civil partnerships now. Or the URC in Heselman. They were one of the first... I think they were the first church in the world to sign up and say, we'll do it. Which is pretty cool, isn't it? Not that, well, I'll think about it. Give me a... Just give me a few days to think about it, and I'll let you know my answer.
Yeah, that's a tactic. That's a tactic that I do suggest to people.
Oh, right. Okay.
When they don't know how to say no, or they're not sure about what's the appropriate thing to do, mm-hmm. so they would tend just to say no to avoid it. To be able to say, I need to think about that. I need to process that. I need to go and talk to someone else. I need, you know, whatever. But you do a delaying tactic that gives you a time to process. And then you can come back, because equally so, the amount of people that I've worked with who have said no about something, then after regretted it. So I really wish I hadn't said no.
That okay.
Point. Yeah. So the
even to someone asking them to marry them. Yeah.
It could be, couldn't it?
Yeah. I wish I had. Yeah.
Well, you could say someone says, "Will you marry?" Say, "Oh, I'd really love to, but." Yeah. Very often people third party it, and they say, you know, but my heart belongs to another, who maybe doesn't exist.
Okay.
You know, but you're third party, aren't you? You're not saying to the person, because those kinds of things, for lots of people, are the ultimate rejection. You know, to get to the point where you bought the ring, you're on your knee, and then the person says, well, actually, no, thank you. That's quite a difficult thing to come back from.
Yeah.
You know, for lots of people.
Yeah, it's going to take some work, isn't it?
Blimey. Yeah.
Yeah, all right.
It isn't just men these days either. Women are more open to asking men for dates, asking men to marry them. Sort of.
I've got a good resource of the week that relates to that. You're going to like it.
Okay.
All right, cracking on.
Yeah.
Which one are we up to, Sean?
What about this one? This doesn't meet my needs now, but I'm sure to. I'll sure keep it in mind. You know, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I sure will.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So again, I'm not rejecting. I'm saying that no, this isn't for me at the moment.
I guess this is all about like showing a bit of compassion to the other person, to the other side of it. Because there's a human being on the other end of the equation, isn't there?
Yeah.
And we've done podcasts, and there's plenty of research about just how important it is just being nice to people.
Yeah.
Polite.
And it's keeping the energy up, isn't it? Because one of the other things is if someone's trying to get something done, and they're receiving a no wherever they go. Maybe they're trying to get a project started and they feel that kind of rejection, rejection, rejection. And each time their energy and their enthusiasm diminishes each time it happens. Whereas if you can keep their energy up as well, we're serving everybody.
Yeah, exactly.
It works together, doesn't it? You know, this is one that is something that's quite real for me. It's this one is, I'm not the best person to help on this. Why don't you try? So you're giving someone else. Now, there are times for me as a therapist where people will appear in front of me and they want to achieve something or do something. And I'm thinking, okay, yeah, I could see you, but actually if you went to see whoever, you know, they would do a much better job for you. They're much better skilled in that area. And that can be a weird thing, because if someone has come to see me or a therapist because they, you know, you've got a reputation or they see you in some way as special or something, and then you're saying, no, you need to go and see someone else, now that can be a rejection for them. They can feel like you're throwing them out.
Yeah. No, I divorced a client recently. Which I was delighted about, actually. I mean, they're nice. They were nice guys to work for. No, they were nice guys, but they weren't any fun to work for. Mm. I should clarify. And it'd been months and months I've been work on going, and they'd go quiet, and I was like, finally, yeah, they're not going to call back. And then they would for another bit of work. So obviously they enjoyed working with me, or they. But I kind of had enough of it. And every time the phone rang and I saw this person's name, my heart would sink a little bit, like, ugh. So in the end, yeah, an email came in, and can you do this? And I just replied, you know, with quite a lengthy email, saying I can't. I probably didn't use the word no, actually. I was quite diplomatic and polite, and fired the email off, and then an hour later got it back saying, yeah, no problem, Ed, thanks a lot, just send me the details you need, because I needed to give them access to all the sites that I've done for them and all this stuff. Handed it all over. I did suggest a few people that I knew that could help them, but I actually recommended, because it was a long distance client, that they find someone near to them that they could meet on a regular basis.
Yeah.
But anyway, that was a real load off for me.
Did you feel better for doing it?
Oh yeah, so much better.
Because I think that's the other thing, is that because people don't know how to say no positively, we end up holding on to people or situations that don't serve us well.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas if we can actually say to people in an honest way, you know, actually, I don't want to need to do this anymore, and we can bring it to a close, then things become much more positive.
Yep.
And ultimately, that's true in things like relationships. You know, when people feel like a relationship has gone its course and they need to bring it to a close, it can be quite difficult. How do you say to someone, look, I don't want to do this anymore. I think we should go our separate ways.
Yeah.
Because that's the ultimate no, the ultimate rejection.
Big time.
But we're not good at it in our society. We have to have fault and blame. So I will wait till you do something that really gets up my nose, or just it's a stupid thing, and I'll pretend it really gets up my nose and turn it into a big deal.
Yeah.
So that I can get into the, no, I don't want to do this anymore stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that the idea of being able to be positive about it. So the last one on the list here from Zen Habits is, and I paraphrased it a bit, I've stuck another word in, but it was, what I've put in is, I'd love to, you know. But the thing is that if you're putting the no in, because we're using the no word, I'd love to, but no, I can't.
Okay.
Yeah. Which might actually be no, I won't, or might actually be no, I don't want to. Mm-hmm. You know, I'd love to do it for you, but actually I don't want to.
Okay, so why would you love to if you don't want to?
Because I'd love to get it right for you, but actually, yeah. You know,
I'd love to help you out.
Yeah,
Sod off.
Yeah, yeah, and it is that sense of like, if you've politely told someone to sod off, when you see them again, there isn't that big barrier of no between you.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's a door still open.
That's right. Yeah, because you never know when you might bump into these people, might you? Or...
Yeah. But if you go back to that basic philosophy, if we all look after each other, then the world's okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sometimes by saying yes to somebody because you're scared of saying no doesn't serve them well, because you're not the best person to help them. So they end up saddled with you getting things wrong rather than being with the right person to get things right, because you couldn't say no in the first place.
Right.
Do you see what I mean? And I guess equally so with relationships, the amount of people I work with where someone said, I love you, and the other person said, okay, all right, so we get married, and they weren't really committed to it, but they didn't know how to say it.
Right.
Yeah.
Interesting. Okay. Thank you, Zen Habits, for your for helping us along there. But yeah.
Zen Habits is a good good resource.
Oh, it's brilliant. No, cracking little website. Okay.
So do you generally, are you able to say no?
Yeah, I think I've got a lot better actually in recent months, years, what have you, a bit of experience here and there. I'm still not that great. There's still stuff I take on that I shouldn't do, or I'll use up every available minute in the day, really.
Yeah.
I don't know, relating to you there, Sean, I know you're a busy boy. Is there stuff you think you'd wish you'd say no to a bit more, so you'd have a bit more time to kick back? Plenty of time to sleep when you're dead, isn't there?
Yeah. I should be looking forward to it. I guess I could say, yeah, I could do more time in my week. I often get to the end of the day and think, God really got this wrong. You know, there's only 24 hours in a day, and if there were 36, it'd be so much easier. But if there were 36, I'd be saying, if there was only 48, it's one of those.
Going to move to Mercury or something like that.
I think that we're at a phase in our society where there are a lot of people that need a lot of help and a lot of emotional support. In Britain, I guess in the West generally, it's the end of an era. It's the end of the rich time. You know, and certainly in Britain, it's the end of the welfare state, which is creating so many problems for so many people. And that is ricocheting through into people that... It's a bit like something happens to people financially, which reflects in the relationship emotionally, and then they start having arguments. And so I end up doing marital therapy with people who have lost that ability to communicate with each other because of the pressures of society. And it's kind of doing rebuilds. But it is immensely, immensely busy at the moment.
Yeah. Everyone's busy, man. Let's wrap things up. You've got a bit of a challenge, haven't you, for people? Or are you suggesting a challenge?
Yeah, on the podcast. Not the podcast, the blogcast.
Podcast. Zipcast, YouTube, all that, yeah.
What I've suggested is, how about you set yourself a challenge for the next week and try not to say the word no. To not let it come out of your mouth. Or if you do hear it coming out of your mouth, think about how could I have reframed that? How could I have said it in another way which wouldn't include the word no?
No. So no saying no. I'm trying to think of ways you could kind of remind yourself. I know, is it Tim Ferriss had that no complaining thing, and he had he saw someone with a bracelet on that to remind them, and every time they did complain, they had to just put it on the other arm. Like one of those rubber band things.
Yeah.
Even just a rubber band would do it.
Yeah.
So stick one on your wrist.
Yeah.
Just to remind yourself that maybe that's a good way of doing it. And every time you do, switch it across, and then slowly you should begin to do it less.
It's even simple things like someone says to you, do you want a cup of coffee? And the word that's coming out of your mouth is, no, I don't. But it could be, I'm fine, thanks, at the moment.
Not now. Thank you. You've got to be playful with language, haven't you?
Yeah.
Because you can't just say no thank you as part of the game.
Yeah.
You've got to say not now at all.
Yeah. And it is playing with the words, but what you're actually playing with is the emotional concept in your head.
Maybe later.
Because no is a cut-off point.
Mm.
Yeah. And when you say no, the world stops. And that's the bit that I think we need to avoid. We need to keep the flow moving.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Anything else you'd like to say, or should we go to our resource?
I'm good for that.
Resource of the week?
Well, my resource is the Zen Habits website and the blog, which I think is a really useful resource to go and play with.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I can't argue with that. I'm a big fan of Zen Habits. There's some good YouTube stuff he's done as well, interviews with interesting people.
Yeah.
Pretty cool. And he's an interesting guy as well, actually. Reasonably youngish. I think he's probably younger than he looks. But, no, older than he looks, sorry. But he's got like 6 kids as well, I think, and crazy old life, but...
Do you think we should try and get him on the podcast?
Still try to find his zen. Yeah, I think we should. It's probably worth a shot, isn't it?
Yeah, that'd be good.
That'd be cool. Until he realises how much we've ripped him off over the years in our show. my resource, and I want to just say before, I haven't tried this yet, but I found it last night, and it looks quite interesting, and it's called Cuddler. App, CUDDLR.
As that in Cuddle?
As in cuddle.com. And basically you have a little profile on there and you can find people to dish out free hugs to or get free hugs from in your vicinity. Now it's,
I'll be talking about a virtual hug here.
No, this is a real hokey meetup. There's a good video on the website which explains how it works, and they have thought about the whole security thing in terms of, you know, meeting up in public places and all that stuff. And you can find out more about the person, like what they look like, before you go through with it. But that's an interesting concept. And I think it's British guys, by the looks of the video. I think it was in England.
Yeah.
Give it a go.
Yeah. Those kinds of things, to me, sound amazing. And also I can imagine that loads of people are going to be going, oh my God, perverts charter.
Yeah.
You know, ring up because you want to go.
I think the app does have stuff like security stuff, and people can build up a profile. You know, you can rate a person to see if they're actually genuine and nice and all that.
If you go down the zoo and you go and watch the chimpanzees in that big chimpanzee tower they've got in the zoo here.
Yeah.
And you watch them interacting. And the thing that always fascinates me is they can't stop touching each other. They're forever touching, cuddling, stroking. That there's that need for physical contact as a kind of confirmation of belonging and stuff like that. And I think that we are normally in a natural situation like that.
Yeah.
But we're inhibited by our attitudes, opinions, laws, all kinds of things, political correctness about who you can touch and where you can touch.
Well, even things like at school now, you know, just teaches rules, which I'll probably get picked up on by Bethan on this, but I'm pretty sure the physical contact with kids now, for semi-obvious reasons, is like a bit frowned upon. So teachers, but Bethan's a reception teacher, so she's teaching like 4 or 5 year olds, and they're craving cuddles all the time, you know, but she's not really allowed to.
But if a child falls over in the playground, are you supposed to pick it up and give it a cuddle?
Yeah.
Or do you leave it, you know, on the floor? What do you do?
Cry it out.
Which to me, it's a sadness. It's a sadness that we've lost that ability of seeing sensual contact as something which isn't threatening. It's actually security. Yeah.
I did read an article as well in The Guardian last week about a lot of world leaders now hug when they meet, like Obama and all the Sarkozy and all those guys. Sarkozy, he's out, isn't he? Whereas, you know, it was a handshake 20, 30 years ago, but now they're all meeting and they're hugging, which I think is quite cool.
Yeah.
A lot of British politicians now, and it talks more about how British men hug more than they used to.
Yeah.
I love a good hug.
Yeah, I'm a hugger.
I'm a hugger. We embrace when we meet, don't we?
We do, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, that's important, yeah.
That's just a bit off topic, but there we go. Next week, we are going to talk about goal setting. Again, listener request here about whether we should be aiming super high, aiming how high we should aim, whether we're setting ourselves up for a fall, whether that's good or bad, etc., etc. How about that?
Yeah, I think it's cool.
Goal setting.
Goal setting's great as long as you don't set yourself up for a fall, because then all you do is create negative self-imagery.
Okay. All right. That's a little taster for you. Yeah. Cool. Visit our website, liveinthepresent.co.uk, for the show notes and links to things we've discussed. Blog post by Sean this week, and every week you've got 74 other episodes to get your teeth stuck into this wonderful show. How about that?
Amazing.
So head over there, leave us a review on iTunes and we'll read it out. That'd be really cool. Or just drop us an email and say hello. We'd love that too. Have yourself a great week, Sean.
And you.
And everyone out there.
Yeah, you take care.
See you later.
Good night, Doc.
Yeah, night, Doc. She'll be asleep by now.